David's Daily Digital Dollop, Dollop 70. My first dollop from down under. Whilst waiting in the customs queue at Melbourne Airport, there was a sign informing us that Channel 7 were currently filming for their airport-based reality TV show. I was a bit concerned that this might mean that the customs staff were going to be even more officious than usual, knowing that they were being filmed. After all, they'd want to be seen doing their jobs properly. I also thought that having a film crew present would mean that some of the staff might decide to act up their role a bit. Surely, having your actions filmed is going to affect your behaviour on some level, with people acting in the way that best suits the person they want to be seen as being. You might decide that you want to be likeable and come across as a kind person, always willing to help. Or maybe you'd like to be viewed as the joker, ready with a witty line that will find favour with the people watching. Or you might elect to be seen as the hard-nosed, no-nonsense, no-bullshit guy who provides the show with an element of drama and intensity. Hopefully, we wouldn't get the latter character. Not because we had anything to hide, but simply because we'd both hardly had any sleep over the last 30 hours and didn't fancy concluding our day with a confrontational encounter by someone who was hamming up their hostility for some saddo on a sofa. Might my international career hang in the balance of an amateur actor attempting to find favour with a film crew and a TV audience? Might I be refused into Australia purely to create the pivotal plot of a humdrum drama? It would have been distressing enough to be refused entry into the country without having the added ignominy of the whole thing being broadcast on TV. Perhaps I needed to see this as an opportunity. Maybe if I was a compelling enough character, then this could launch me into the hearts and minds of the Australian public. I might have to sell out a bit and exploit my blindness to engender sympathy with the audience. That should help create a compelling story and gain me a considerable bit of airtime. I would have to be alert and at my best, even though I was massively tired and drained, and my mind was rather foggy, and probably suffering from deep brain thrombosis. Haha. Now that's a good line for the TV. I'm going to be a hit in Australia. The audience are going to love this. Channel 7 are going to be so impressed that they give me my own TV show.
"Have you got any grain on you, madam?"
said the lady at customs to the person in front of me at the customs desk. Okay, so they're going to ask me about grain, I thought. Maybe I should prepare a witty one-liner, a clever comedic comeback to reel the viewers in. She'd say, "Have you got any grain with you, sir?" And I could say something like, "Sorry, no. Besides, I thought it was against the rules for you to smoke on duty." Would that work? Does that even make sense? I'm too jet-lagged to know. I think it works. If I said it nonchalantly and really quickly, then the audience would be impressed by my ability to think of jokes quickly. So that's the deep brain thrombosis line, and now the grain comeback. I can keep listening to the conversation in front of me, which might give me some more ideas for jokes. The lady in front of me was a bit confused by the grain question. I don't think English was her first language, and she might have also been a bit deaf. Oh, the film crew would be loving this, having got a disability angle. They had no idea that there was even better to come. They were about to meet their best character yet, the English blind man. Perhaps the film crew would engineer a situation in which me and the deaf lady were detained in a room together, perhaps due to a grain-based complication. The deaf lady didn't seem to understand the question, and I had made a jocular comment which hadn't been taken very well. The scene in which the non-English-speaking deaf woman and the English blind man try and communicate in detention would be one of the most popular moments of Australian TV in 2016, going viral worldwide. I don't know whether the scene with the customs lady and the deaf woman will make it onto the Channel 7 show, but just in case you are planning on watching it and don't want any spoilers, skip straight ahead to the next paragraph. You will just have to put your hands over your ears or something like that. It'll probably take me about 20 seconds to deliver this. After a bit of confusion, where the deaf lady didn't seem to understand the question, the customs person named various examples of what she meant by the term grain, and the lady then seemed to understand. No grain, she replied, and she was allowed to proceed. Presumably, If they do show this scene on the TV, then they will create a bit of a cliffhanger around it, in which the grain story's big conclusion will follow the commercial break. It would be a shame to squander such a moment by not building adequate suspense. Although, sadly, they had missed the opportunity to do the deaf-blind communication scene. Then it was my turn to be interrogated. This was my moment to shine. It was time to introduce the Australian TV audience to David Eagle, the quick-witted English blind man. "Good morning," said the customs lady. "Good morning," I replied. Not the most memorable or amazing first line, I admit, but wait until she asked me about grain, and I'd be ready to deliver comedy gold. I handed my passport to the lady. She scanned it, and then, mere seconds later, she said, "That's all fine. You can go through, sir." Apparently, because we'd filled out a number of forms before travelling, all the information that they needed was on their screen. So that was it. No questions about grain. My fleeting hopes of fame and fortune were gone. Unless there might still be an opportunity to salvage a spot on TV. I could try and shoehorn in my deep brain thrombosis line. Thank you. I must say that that's a relief because my brain... "Good morning, sir," she said to Sean behind me, completely riding roughshod over my attempts to get the deep brain thrombosis joke out. It was useless. She had talked over the start of the joke and completely ruined it. And so I walked away, having been granted admission into Australia, but denied my place on Australian TV. We arrived at the hotel by 11 p.m. Australian time, 12 noon British time. Sean went straight to bed, I sat on the toilet seat and recorded that day's dollop in the bathroom. The hotel had Wi-Fi, but you had to pay for it. I was planning on going to sleep straight after uploading the dollop, and then we'd be leaving the hotel first thing in the morning, meaning that I'd have to pay for 24 hours of Wi-Fi just in order to use it for 10 minutes. But it had to be done. I imagined all of your frantic and forlorn faces as the realization dawned on you that there was to be no Dollop 69. So I connected to the network. Upon connecting, a message popped up, offering a very generous free 5 minutes of internet, presumably to suck you into buying. 5 minutes was going to be a challenge. I had to publish the written version, then log into the server to upload the audio version, mention the dollop's release on Facebook and Twitter, and then edit and upload the RSS feed for the podcast providers. It was a race against time, but I won it with hardly a second to spare. So now we're in Australia. Tomorrow we do our first gig. Given the time lag, already I've got quite a bit to tell you about things that have happened today, which I will write about in tomorrow's dollop. In the meantime, thanks for reading, and feel free to leave a comment which I will read and reply to when I get more than 5 minutes of Wi-Fi access.